Today's shiur is entitled, and it's a shocking title, The Jewish View of the Non-Jew, Man or Animal. The reason the title is so shocking is because of a shocking Gemara that we are going to look at today and then comment upon. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Nun, Masechet Shabbat, toward the bottom of the page, says as follows. In the midst of a discussion concerning the saying of Divrei Kodesh, of words of holiness in a proper atmosphere, the following statement is made. Damar Rabbi Yehuda Akum Arum Asur Likrot Kriyat Shema Kenegdo. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned the fact that a naked non-Jew, one is not allowed to read Shema in his presence. The Gemara asks, "My Iria Akum, what do you mean a naked non-Jew? Afilu Yisrael Nami, also a Jew who is naked. So also you can't read Kriyat Shema in front of him." The Gemara answers, "Lo mi bai kamar." We don't need to say that, it's telling us. Lo mi bai Yisrael da'asur. We don't have to say that by a Jew. Of course you cannot read Kriyat Shema in front of a Jew who is not dressed properly and attired properly. Of course not. Aval akum. But we needed to say the chiddush by a non-Jew. Kevan dichtiv bei asher besar chamurim besaram. Since it says in the book of Yechezkel that the flesh of the non-Jew is like the flesh of a donkey. Ema shapir dami. So you might say that just like you're allowed to read Divrei Kodesh, Kriyat Shema, and Torah in the presence of a donkey, in the presence of an animal, because obviously that is not considered to be nudity, that's not nakedness, that is not improper with regard to an animal. So too you might say it's the same with reference to a non-Jew, that's not considered to be nakedness if a non-Jew is naked, just like an animal. Kimash Malan. Thereby we need a statement of Rabbi Yehuda to tell us otherwise. And in fact, it's not the case that the non-Jew does not have the status of an animal. The Gemara then says, Ema Hachinami. So Gemara says, you know what that source in Yechezkel? Maybe it is true. Maybe the status of the non-Jew is that of an animal with reference to saying Kriyat Shema. Amar Kra. No, the verse says, Ve'ervat avihem lo ra'u. It says with reference to Noach that his sons did not see his nakedness. You see that thereby, by this non-Jew, Noach, it is recognized that there is a notion of nakedness by the non-Jew. And therefore, we conclude that one cannot say that the non-Jew has the status of an animal, and one can read Shema in front of him. No, we see from this pasuk in Noach that it is not the case. And as I said, this is truly shocking. We often hear in our society today the notion that is quoted from the Quran, and I am not an expert in Islamic study, and I don't know how the scholars of Islam deal with this and other statements in their sources, but we are told of a famous statement that says, Jews are the sons of apes and pigs. And of course we find that incredibly insulting and disgusting. The question we're asking today is, how do Jews then view others who are not like them? Are they also the sons of apes and pigs? Are they chamurim? Are they donkeys? Are they animals? Is that what this Gemara is telling us? I remember that we were learning this Gemara in Rav Parnas' shiur many years ago, and Rav Parnas asked a question concerning the understanding of this Gemara as we are asking it, and someone raised his hand to give pshat to the Gemara. And he said that the explanation is that non-Jews are animals. Non-Jews are animals. Now, Rav Parnas responded to this, Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom, how dare anyone could say such a thing. And I have to point out, concerning Raparnas, that in his tenure at Yeshiva University, now he is at Landers, but he was also and often seen as being very much to the right at the yeshiva. How far to the right? It's interesting, my father was once having lunch with Dr. Norman Lamb and Rabbi Simcha Krauss and my mother in a meeting where Dr. Lamb was going to ask my father to head a campaign in the Midwest for Yeshiva University. And at that gathering in the YU library, I was invited to come to say hello. And I was sitting there, so somehow I mentioned I have to go back to Raparnas' class, and the discussion ensued about Raparnas. And it somehow came out that Raparnas was very much to the right. And as a result, my father felt somewhat uncomfortable because my parents were not themselves identified with Orthodox Judaism. However, they supported Yeshiva University in terms of what it was doing for me in a very great way as being benefactors. So my father said to Dr. Lamb, what do you mean he's to the right? Well, what do you mean? How far to the right is he? What do you mean he's to the right? And Dr. Lamb responded, well, how far to the right is Raparnas? Let's put it this way. He's to the right of Moses. He's to the right of Moses. And my father so much laughed at this response by Dr. Lamb that it totally disarmed him, and he just went on with the conversation without seriously then questioning the so-called extreme perspectives of Raparnas. But here, I am telling you the story, because lest one say, oh, Raparnas would have said, yes, indeed, yes, that's the pshat. Non-Jews are animals. He said, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, that is not what it means, that is not the pshat. It's not what it means. What does it mean? So obviously it means that in this case, in this particular context, it could be that by this issue of erva, of immodesty, the non-Jew was being compared to an animal in the sense that just like an animal does not have a sense of modesty, he walks around without clothes on, he really doesn't care how others see him, he has no concern for the showing of his skin, that so too in non-Jewish society there are no Noahide laws which require him to dress even in a particular way. There are no laws of yichud and other type of restraints that we have that are incumbent upon a non-Jew. He can freely roam around without a great deal of clothing on. And that being the case for him, so this nudity is not as a severe an entity as it is by us. In fact, we may even say that just like by an animal, so we do not call an animal being naked. We don't see an animal as not wearing clothes. An animal doesn't wear clothes. So too here, certainly throughout much of human history, and certainly one may argue even today, with the lax morals that we have in our world, in our own country, one could argue that the dress, the minimal dress that many wear in the non-Jewish world, the way they present themselves in the media and television and so on, with much skin being revealed, that this is just something that's kind of normative by us now. It's something they just do. And maybe that was the Havamina somehow, that in regards, of course they're human beings, Chas v'shalom, to even say such a thing. But in regards to this one particular mode of behavior, so one might have thought that the halacha, by saying Kriyat Shema, is relevant to a non-Jew, just like it is to an animal. Not that they're animals, but in regards to this particular halacha, that there was no shame by the non-Jewish presentation of the body, just like animals have no shame. In fact, I would like to point out that we have such a view said about Jews as well. It said in the parsha of Shemot, at the very outset, where the Jewish people, we are told, multiply to a great degree, Bnei Yisrael, Paruvi Shritzu, Vayirbuvi Atzmu, Bimol Ba'od, B'tmalei Aretz Otam. The Jewish people, we know, multiplied to a great degree, and in that language it includes the word Vayishritzu, upon which Rashi and others say it means that they had many, many births, six at once, that were taking place. Vayishritzu, however, according to the Sephorno, comes from the language of Sheretz. He says, Vayishritzu, he says, after the 70 souls that initially came into Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu and his offspring, after they had died, Natu Lidarche Shratzim. So says the Sephorno that the Jewish people had tended to the ways of insects. Just like insects, bugs have no shame, the way they walk around, those disgusting crawling things. So too, Klal Yisrael had reached a level that they were like Shratzim. You're going to say it means Klal Yisrael were Shratzim? They weren't Shratzim. But in terms of the way they behaved, they were Shratzim. They had this status of roaches and insects. And so too, that is the vision here, we could say, of the Gemara. Chas v'shalom, not that they had a status of animals, that they're animals. They're human beings. But in regards to this particular halacha, this particular behavior that they revealed that they did not care about, so there they could be akin to being like animals, and thereby perhaps the halacha is to reflect this. I might also point to a Klei Yakar. The Klei Yakar says, in a discussion brought down by the Akedah, where Avraham Avinu, when he sees the place where he's supposed to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice, he says to the others who are there that they cannot go any further. And as he says this, he tells them, "Vayomer Avraham Amarav, Shivu lachem po imachamur." He says to them, "You stay here with the donkey, v'ani v'nar ne'elchad ko v'nishtachav v'nashuv aleichem." And we, Yitzchak and I, will go up to the mountain and then we will serve God and come back to you. So when it says in this pasuk that Avram told them, "Shivu lachem po imachamur," stay here with the donkey, so the Klei Yakar says, "Am adoma lachamur." He was saying on a deeper level that the non-Jewish individuals that accompanied him, who were not from the Zera of Abraham, were a nation, a people who were identified with donkeys. Same idea of donkeys as in Yechezkel. What does it mean that they were a nation that are to be identified with donkeys? What's the pshat? So, again, it doesn't mean they were donkeys. Chas v'shalom, it doesn't mean they were donkeys. Rather, says the Klei Yakar, "El lefi shehem domim l'chamur mitzad behem yutam." In terms of a certain animal instinct that they had, in terms of their shame, no doubt, with regards to fate, to sin. And don't forget, we're talking about here Eliezer and Yishmael. Certainly Eliezer, someone who was a righteous person. As we were in our Gemara speaking, it says it concludes about Noach. Speaking about Noach as well, they brought a proof from Noach that it is called Erva, but there was a Havamim that Noach also was included in this thought relevant to non-Jews. That is to say, again, that non-Jews don't have these particular laws that restrain them. And so, says in this case, the Klei Yakar, very strong statement. He says that they're worse non-Jews than the donkeys. Again, of course, they're not sub-animal. They are human beings. That's the whole point. They're human beings. But when they engage in animalistic type of behavior, so he says, "Hachamor poel b'teva." What the donkey does, he does by nature. "V'heima chotim b'ratzon." However, the non-Jew, in regards to these prohibitions, especially of erva, engages in such sin willfully. And thereby, that's why they have, we are suggesting, a certain status in this case of an animal. It does not mean chas v'shalom that they are considered to be in any way on the level of an animal. To make the element even clearer, obviously I think it is understood, for anyone who would think otherwise, that the idea of Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the idea that there are seven Noahide laws, seven laws of morality to govern all of mankind. Certainly, you don't give Zion mitzvah b'nei Noach to animals. It's ridiculous. Obviously, it's for human beings that have to follow law of morality. Animals don't have to follow laws of morality. So it's clear again that there is no doubt that anyone who would try to construe this Gemara and abuse this Gemara and saying that Jews hold that non-Jews are like animals, certainly that is not true. It is trying to corrupt our notion of the human being. Having said that, however, there is a perhaps another question that has to be asked, because while we reject this idea, it was a Havamina, there is a Gemara that causes us to ask the question once again. In Parshat Chukat, regarding impurity caused by death, we have the following statements. Perek Yud Tet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Zo tatara adam ki amut ba'ohel. This is the law regarding a man who dies in the tent. Kol haba la'ohel v'chol asher ba'ohel yitma shivat yamim. Whoever was in the tent or comes into the tent becomes impure for 7 days. This is known as, we know, the impurity of death, the greatest, most intense type of impurity. And the statement seems to be very innocent. There is impurity that is generated by death. However, says the Gemara, Yivamos Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Hivrei Yaldei Kochavim Ein Metamin Ba'olam. Shimon Yochai says that with this notion of the generation of impurity of death in the tent, in a shelter, that only applies by Jews. It does not apply by non-Jews. Dichtiv Adam kiamut ba'ohel. As it says, a man who dies in the tent. A man who dies in the tent. Dichtiv. And there's also, however, a statement in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel, where we quoted before, in fact, where the Gemara said that in Yechezkel, and I should give a context to that, it was speaking of the fact that the Jewish people were seen as sheep who were wandering and not taken care of properly. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says that, this being now in the exile, that a time will come and he will bring his sheep back to him and watch over them properly and care for them once again. As this is said, and even the pshat there in Yechezkel, when it said that the skin of those non-Jews who were abusing the Jewish people is the skin of animals, of chamurim, even there the Mefarshim say, all the Mefarshim in Tanakh, if you look, say the skin was talking about, particularly the basar, was talking about the basar erva, the limb of non-Jews, the sexual organ, where that organ was like that of donkeys in the sense, and horses who are very much engaged in the sexual act on a very regular and frequent basis, just like we're trying to say that it was being said that non-Jews sexually did not have the restraints that the Jewish people had. That's how it's understood by the Mefarshim there. But there's another pasuk which says in Yechezkel, perhaps equally as damaging, maybe more so. This is Lag Dalid, Lamed Aleph in Yechezkel. Vatein tzoni tzon mariti. Adamatem. Here God says, when he says that, you are my sheep, O Israel. You are the ones who I take and shepherd properly. Adam Atem. You are Adam. You are Adam. What's it mean? You are Adam. You are man. You are the human being. What does that mean? So Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in the Gemara that we quoted, Atem kruim adam ve'ena ovde kochavim kruim adam. You are called man. Non-Jews are not called man. And if you say it means maybe just idolaters aren't called man because they are pagans. Again, if one would want to say this, they are barbaric. They're not called man. But no, look what it says. God says, you, B'nai Israel, you are called man. And the Ovdei Kochavim, non-Jews, are not called man. Now this is a pliatsuma. This would seem to be, again, a notion being said here, and we passed in this way for the most part. Well, it is true that there are Rishonim, it's brought down the Sefer Halacha, who hold that even non-Jews are Metame Ba'ohel. There is such a view, and some even hold we should be Choshesh for that, but the general view is we know that non-Jews are not Metame Ba'ohel, they're Metame B'masa, they're B'maga, they're Metame in other ways, if you lift the body, if you touch the body, but not Ba'ohel. And if they're not Metame Ba'ohel, the reason is because they're not called Adam. And if they're not called Adam, they're not human beings. What is the Pshat here? They're not called Adam. They're not called a human being. Again, we have another difficulty in understanding what is being said in this situation. I should point out that the Encyclopedia of Talmudit, Daf Kuf Samach Gimel, in the opening volume, mentions different distinctions that are made between the notion of Adam, where it could refer to non-Jews. For example, he says, wherever it says Adam ubehema, man and animal, so then the human being, the notion is that it includes non-Jews as well. And he has other such distinctions. Wherever it says B'nei Adam, he says it refers to, he shows, non-Jews as well. However, we cannot get out of the fact that in this particular halacha, it says, you are called Adam, and others are not called Adam. By the way, one of the views he brings in the Encyclopedia Talmudit is that before the Torah was given, so then everyone was called Adam. But after the Torah was given, then Klal Yisrael is called Adam. Others aren't called Adam. Again, this to me is not comforting. It would still have us saying that after Matan Torah, that non-Jews are not considered to be Adam, they're not considered to be human beings. Well, what does this mean? And to just stress the point even more, there's a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, seems like a very beautiful Mishnah, and a very innocent Mishnah. The Mishnah I make reference to is in Pirkei Avos Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Dalet. Some have it as another number, but in many it's Mishnah Yud Dalet. It's speaking of a statement Rabbi Akiva made, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Precious is man who is created in God's image. And a great preciousness was shown in affection in the fact that he was created in God's image. As it says, Shenemar, B'tzelem Elokim, Asat Adam. It says, God made man in his image. And then it says, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Bani Mamakom. Precious are the Jewish people who are called the children of God. Children to God. Chibayateira Nodat Lahem Shenikru Bani Mamakom. Great affection was shown to them. They should recognize them being identified in this way. Shenemar, it says, Bani Matem Hashem Alateichem. As God said to the Jewish people, you are children to the Lord your God. And then goes further about Klal Yisrael. Chavivin Yisrael Shenitam Lahem Kli Chemda. And a precious gift, vessel, tool, was given to the Jewish people as well. With great preciousness was this given. What is this tool? Shenemar Ki Lechach Tov Natati Lachem Torati Al Ta'azovu. This refers to the great precious gift and tool of the Torah. Now it would seem obvious the way that the Mishnah is presented, that first it says Chaviv Adam, Shini Rav Tzalem. So this refers to the human being in general as precious to God and precious. And then it says Chaviv Yisrael. So obviously, Yisrael means the Jews. Adam that came before it means the non-Jews as well, includes all human beings. I mean, well, how much clearer can it get? And yet, take a look at the Tosfos Yomtiv. He is shocked by the fact that the Midrash Shmuel and many other commentators, in fact, understand that even where it says Chaviv Adam, Shenivra B'Tselem, that even when it says precious is man who is created in God's image, that this refers to Yisrael. Many Mefarshim say that this refers to the Jew being in the image of God. Being human means being a Jew. And it sounds like we have the statement we've been looking at here. In fact, he quotes it. They quote, those Mefarshim, what we're looking at here, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's statement, it's brought down in the Tosfos Yomtiv, Atem Krim Adam, you are called Adam, and non-Jews are not called Adam. So their proof is, when it says in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam, no, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, you are called Adam, non-Jews are not called Adam. Non-Jews are not considered to be human, they're not called man. That's their proof. The Tosfos Yomtiv says, it's clear from the text, that is not what it means. He doesn't exactly say what it means. How does he explain it, though? It says Adam and Ha. It says Adam. They're not called Adam, and so what does that mean? It's a famous statement in this regard by Rabbeinu Tam, where his explanation in terms of this distinction made by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is as follows. He says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to the Jewish people, you are called Adam. Others are not called Adam. But he says that wherever it says Ha-Adam, that refers to non-Jews as well. Where it says Adam, that just refers to the Jews. As we saw in mentioning this pasuk, Zot HaTorah Adam, there it says Adam. It means a Jew who dies in the tent. He generates impurity, not a non-Jew. He's not called Adam. However, wherever it says Ha-Adam, with reference to Jewish law and lore, so Rabbeinu Tam says there, of course, it includes non-Jews as well. But again, what does that mean? Why the distinction? How are we to understand this? Adam, Ha-Adam. What is being spoken about to give us perhaps some deeper insight into this explanation? What does it mean that we are called Adam? They are not called Adam. I would like to suggest that the secret to understanding this notion can be found in a Gemara, Masechet Shabbat, of Kuf Mem Hei to Kuf Mem Vav. I have a previous shiur online entirely devoted to this Gemara. But there the Gemara says that from the time of Gan Eden, when sin was brought upon mankind, Sha Sheba Nachash Al Chava Hitil Bazuama, when the snake came upon Chava, and then obviously Adam HaRishon, so impurity and the impurity of death and mortality came upon the human being. Yisrael sh'amdu al har Sinai paska zuhamatan. But when Klal Yisrael stood at Mount Sinai and accepted the Torah, that impurity of death, be it in the physical sense, be it, I would say, more in the spiritual sense, stopped. There was no longer mortality that was to be experienced by the Jewish people once they accepted the Torah. And I understood this to mean that just like in Gan Eden, so Adam HaRishon, the first human being, was told that he had the opportunity through the Eitz HaChayim to have eternal life except that he took forth the Eitz HaDaat and therefore sinned and was kicked out of Gan Eden, never to be able to have, it would seem, the Eitz HaChaim again, an eternal life. But we call, and my topic there in that shir is original sin, dooming man forever. But when the Jewish people received the Torah became the new Eitz Chaim. As we say, Eitz Chaim Hinam Achazikim Ba. That became the tree of life. And therefore, just like it said that the original human being, an Adam HaRishon, had ingested, if you will, the impurity from the snake of mortality and death. So thereby in Har Sinai, when the Jews accepted the Torah, they were introduced to another Eitz Chaim. They lost being condemned to mortality and death. They could now have eternal life, at least in terms of the spirit of the soul. Rav Huttner, Amar Kav Gimel of his Ma'amarim on Sukkot, says, Shat Matan Torah Hi Azman Shel Tikun Chet Adam HaRishon V'Hefzirato L'Matzav HaKadum. Time of the giving of the Torah, he writes this about Shavuot now. He says that is the time of the correction of the sin of the first human being and his return to being once again like Adam HaRishon, as I have indicated, and Rav Huttner supports that view. And thereby we should understand that that's what it means when it says in the Gemara, Atem Nikraim Adam V'lo Akum. You are called Adam. It doesn't mean you are called human beings and non-Jews are not human. Chas v'shalom. It means you are called Adam. You are now renamed Adam HaRishon. You are called Adam, just like Adam HaRishon could have eternal life. So too, you could have now eternal life in your acceptance of the Torah. It's very interesting, in fact, in the pasuk that we're talking about. It says, Zot HaTorah, Adam. This is the Torah, Adam. You're once again Adam, as we're trying to explain it. Like Adam HaRishon, you're Adam, not Ha-Adam. Rabbi Tam says that means others. But Adam, like Adam HaRishon, because of the Torah, Zot HaTorah, Adam. Once again, you are Adam through Torah. You are like the first human being. And when it says, interestingly, somewhat ironically, Ki Amut Ba'ohel, this is the law, the Torah of Adam, who will die in the tent. Interestingly, even though we are looking at a halacha dealing with death and the impurity of death, in the tent, in the finite aspect of existence, and yes, that realm of death and its impurity still applies. But in terms of the transcendent understanding of life, life beyond this world, the life of infinity and eternity that is connected to the Torah, in that you are the Redeemer of Adam, bringing back the notion of Adam HaRishon once again. You are called Adam, and others are not called Adam. In fact, we might even add beautifully to this that thereby when we say non-Jews are not called Adam, but that's just in a sense by nature of the fact that non-Jews do not have the Torah. However, what if non-Jews wanted to become part of the Torah, wanted to go beyond their Noahide laws, and also identify either through conversion or through their own connection of being Osek the Torah, as the Rambam says, that one is allowed to do other mitzvahs as long as they are done properly in Hilchos Malachim, or even if one would like to take it further based on the tshuva of the Rambam, which we have discussed in another shiur online, in terms of teaching Talmud Torah to non-Jews, that the Rambam says in the tshuva that while non-Jews cannot learn Torah on their own, if they are taught Torah properly and guided, that they too can be taught Torah. If that is the case, I would suggest they also can be Adah and be redemptive for themselves and the world and bring the world back to the purity and the greatness of Gan Eden. We have a proof for that in Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tet, and this is brought down by the Torah Tamima in his commentary on the pasuk we've been discussing in Parshat Chukat. The Torah Tamima says there that there is no way that one could have understood, as we've been pointing out from a different angle, that when it's said that Jews are called Adam and non-Jews are not, that non-Jews are animals, it's impossible. How could that be, he says, where the Gemara says, Daf Nun Tet and Sanhedrin Amud Aleph, Afilu Ove Kochavim Ha'osek B'Torah Harei Hu Kohen Gadol Dichtiv Asher Yaseh Otam Ha'adam, going with Rabbeinu Tam, Ha'adam V'chai Bahen Kohanim Levim Yisraelim Lo Nemar Ela Ha'adam L'lamedcha afilu ove kochavim halomei Torah. That's where Rabbeinu Tam's statement is on this Gemara about Adam v'ha'adam. And here it is clear. It says that even a non-Jew, it says ove kochavim, but obviously I think we have to say it does not mean mamish an idolater. How can it be an idolater? It says can be like the Kohen Gadol, can be Kodesh Kadashim. That would be impossible. That wouldn't make any sense. We know if one is ove Avodah Zarah, that it is ke'ilu, he violates Kol HaTorah Kula, he's violating the entire Torah. So we have to understand to mean, and I see for example the Meshech Chochmah has this girsa, that it means that a Noachide, a non-Jew, who in all ways is a moral person, but he's a non-Jew, but if that non-Jew chooses to be Osek B'Torah, to be engaged in Torah, as it says, Asher Yaseh Ota Adam B'Chai B'Hem, these are the mitzvahs that a person shall do and live by them. Not a Kohen Levi Yisrael does it say there, the Gemara says. But it says, Adam, any person. This is also the source of the famous Rambam at the very end of Shemitah Yovel, where the Rambam says that anyone can be like B'nai Levi and totally, instead of inheriting land, as they did not get land because they're supposed to be totally focused upon engagement in the study and the doing of Torah. So too says the Rambam, Kol Ba'ei Olam, anyone in the world, anyone who comes in this world, not any Jew, anyone in this world who wants to be Kodesh Kodashim, says the Rambam, and follow in the path of B'nai Levi, has the opportunity to do so. So even Ha'adam can become Adam, can become again a model of what the Jewish people are trying to become and bring to this world. Even the non-Jew can strive for that model and become that higher level, that level of greater commitment which is expressed in the notion of Torah and mitzvahs. This then is what we are being told. Perhaps we may understand it as the fact that animals have no mission. Animals are just here on this world. They're not charged to go out and do anything. They're not charged to change this world. Animals just go through their lives. And for the most part, the non-Jewish world has the same experience. It is given life. It lives, the non-Jewish world. It makes its contributions. But it is not charged with a mission, as the Jewish people are charged with such a mission. But if they would like to be charged with that mission, if they would like to also take hold of the Eitz Chaim, and once again try to establish both personally and eventually universally the Eitz Chaim, the eternal in living for all of humanity, they too have the right to do so. So far from seeing non-Jews from our initial experience of this Gemara as being not human, as having the skin of animals and being like animals, as being not Adam, as we saw in other sources, Lehefech, just the opposite. We are seeing that they have the full potential also from the Gemara, from the Rambam, to also become Adam, to become the greatest that a human being can become. True, Yisrael is called Adam by its very nature because they accepted the Torah at Har-Sinai and non-Jews did not. But that does not exclude the non-Jew from becoming Adam and also being charged with his own mission to make this world a better one and to bring a geula, a redemption, the great redemption that all of mankind is still awaiting.